Happy Easter to all of you. To connect our two great feasts in the church, my mind goes back to the presentation of the temple. Just after Jesus was born, Mary presents him in the temple, and Simeon, the prophet, says to Mary, "Your child is going to be a source of conflict, the rise and the downfall of many. Many will rise up because of him, but many will fall because of him. He is going to be a point in time that will separate. He will be one who tests the hearts of men and women." And we've seen that over these last few days during the Triduum. We've seen it actually in his whole public ministry. Remember the rich young man who went up to him and said, "Hey, Master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" "Keep the commandments." "Well, I've done that. I want more. I want the fullness." And Jesus said, "Sell everything you have and give to the poor." And the man went away downcast. He didn't follow Jesus. He went away. He left. Jesus was a point in time where this man made a decision, and it was against. Other times, of course, we saw Jesus, the woman at the well, and he confronts her in her sinfulness, calls the sinfulness out, and says, "Go and sin no more. The Lord loves you. The Lord has a design for your life. You've settled for less." And it says that the woman went away and told the whole town, and many came to believe because of her. Because of her testimony, because of her witness, because of what she said, because of a life changed. We saw Jesus multiply loaves and fishes, and great crowds were around because who doesn't want a free lunch? But just days later, when he announces that he's going to be handed over, they disperse, and there's only a few that meet him at the base of the cross, even his own friends. The point being is, Easter is not about bunnies and eggs. It's about a man who entered time and space, a man like any other man, because he was the God-man, and he has divided. He has become a source of conflict, the downfall and the rise of many. Over my few years of priesthood, you know, when we talk about evangelization, people will all, you always hear people say, "Well, I'm not qualified, you know, that's a trained person's job." I want to remind us where this all began, where we all started. It was witnesses, people telling their story. It wasn't a bunch of highbrow intellectuals that sit behind a desk or at a pulpit. It was a bunch of ragtag people like us who encountered a man, a God man, who called out our sin, reminded us the purpose of our creation, the reason we're here, and how we're loved into being. The early church went through many challenges and struggles, much like our own in a different sense, because as time goes on, it ebbs and flows. There's times of great surges of Christianity. Look at Africa right now, busting at the seams. Don't have enough buildings or facilities to house them all. Quite different than in Europe. And even here, where we're shutting down left after right, multiple, combining. And this ebb and flow has happened since the beginning of time. So just a few thoughts for the early church. So right after what we just heard at Peter's great homily, we have to consider how many bishops were present in the universal church at the time. 11. How many priests? The same. How many deacons? He didn't exist yet. Nor the seminarian over there. No seminarians, no trained theologians, no religious orders, no seminaries. Christian believers, maybe 100. Maybe. We have more than that just in this church right now. Countries with Christians in them. There was one. Church buildings, none. Schools, universities, hospitals, none. Orphanages, nursing homes, none. Talking about what Christianity has brought to our world. Written gospels, none. People, there were nothing. There was nothing. Money? Very little. Experience of foreign missions? Trained missionaries? None. This is how the early church began. Influential contacts in high places? None. The societal attitude toward Christianity? Very ignorant and hostile. We have to think about our own time and think about how is it that we got here. For some of us, it was simply coasting along a cultural current, a culture that no longer exists, a culture that is slowly disappearing. Christendom is gone. We don't like to think of it, especially on Easter, but today of all days, we have to think about it. People went into a tomb, found it empty. They saw and they believed. And then they went and told their friends. Everything he told us about our lives was true. This one is different than anyone else. Not highly trained people, just people who shared what the Lord had done for them. I was at my all-time low, and the Lord came to me, not to some mass population, nameless, faceless crowd, to me. He met me at the well. He knew I was hungry and desperate for love, for acceptance, for affection, for forgiveness. He knew I wanted to belong, and he loved me out of my death. Brothers and sisters, we're here 2,000 some years later because this very small group of people saw and believed. They didn't quite understand all the details. Our gospel author just told us that. They didn't understand fully what it meant to be risen from the dead, to rise from the dead. They didn't understand it. They didn't have to. They just had to tell what he did for them, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. As we go through this day, let's celebrate. Death has been conquered. Oh, we'll die in our bodies, but we know that, at least those of us who have faith, that that's not the end of the story. Christ has conquered death because of his death, by his death, through his death, and he extends that to those who have open hearts, to those who accept, to those who embrace, and those who try to engage. As we go through this season of Easter, let's thank the Holy Spirit and ask him to help us be greater convicted by what we've witnessed, what we've encountered, what we've experienced, and pass it on.